Hey everybody, this is Senior Pastor Joshua B. Carson saying thank you for tuning into the CT Podcast. We hope that your time here, whether you're driving down the road or whether you're sitting at home with a journal and listening in, we hope that it's effective. Maybe it'll be inspirational, encouraging, maybe it'll be thought-provoking. Regardless of what session you're listening to, we truly pray that this is a benefit to you and to your family. God bless and enjoy the podcast.
John chapter 4, I want to read verse 11 and 12 and then verses 25 through 30. It is a familiar narrative, and yet it is my very clear assignment from the Lord here today. I honor Pastor Lopez. Thank you for preaching to us last week to get in the harvest. Amen. This story is really about Jesus getting in the harvest, going into Samaria when no other Jews wanted to go into Samaria, and reaching for a woman that no other Jewish man, no other rabbi or teacher would have wanted to reach for, much less the mighty God in Christ. Surely he wouldn't go to this woman. But aren't you thankful that just like he went after this woman, he went after you? I'm thankful. Verse 11, the woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? She doesn't know she's talking to the one who would say, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, who gave us this well and drank thereof himself, his children, and his cattle? Jump over to verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he come, he will tell us all things. Verse 26, Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. I want to say something here today. You can be in his presence and not know him. You can be in his presence and not know him. It's what you do after you recognize whose presence you're in. Woo. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou with her? Basically, verse 27, in common English, they wanted to say, why are you talking to this woman? But they didn't. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, saith unto the men, see, a man. Come and see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. I want to preach for just a little while, taking my title from verse 28 and preach about leaving the water pot. I am on a very clear message from heaven, not to preach. Listen, I don't want to preach very long today. Somebody say, help him, Lord. I don't want to preach very long today, but I want to preach very clear today. You can't do this, and I can't do this without God. Say, Pastor, that's really simple. It is. It's my assignment today that I've got to leave my water pot at the well, so that nobody thinks it's my water pot that's still bringing me sustenance. So that nobody thinks it's my ability that's getting this done. I want my water pot to stay at the well. And I want the Lord to give a revival that only he can give. I want living waters to flow. I'm asking it to be done. I want you to pray that with me right now all over this house. Lord God, thou knowest the heart of every man and every woman in this room, from the youngest to the oldest. I know the assignment you've given me, and I want to, with accuracy, strive to deliver this word. God, I'm asking that you would lift any heaviness off this room, that you would take care of any distraction right now, and that you would allow your spirit to do its work and its intended purpose here in this room, that you and you alone would receive the glory, that you and you alone would be exalted. Let it be done, I pray it, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let everyone say, amen. Turn to two or three people before you're seated and tell them you need to leave your water pot. Come on, tell them you need to leave your water pot. You need to leave your water pot. Her name is Kamala, and I don't want to take shots in this opening story, but I found humor in a story that was ran by Fox and some other media outlets after the first of the year. For those that buy Christmas trees, and I don't mean the artificial ones, I mean the ones that leave pine needle presents all over the house. It's those people that like the smell of pine or whatever it is all over the house, and I've tried to convince some of those people that there are candles for things like that. It is the discarding of the tree for some that becomes the obstacle. What do we do with this real tree after the celebration is over? And so there is an effort in Ireland, and it happens, I guess, multiple places. I had never heard of such thing until I read this newscast. A woman by the name of Kamala, who, 36 years old, went to a tree-throwing contest. The problem is that while Kamala went to that tree-throwing contest, she was still waiting on insurance money for disability. This is the picture that the news cycle wrote. Mom loses $800,000 in disability case after being spotted, of all things, throwing a Christmas tree. That's ridiculous. You can pull that picture down. I'm not here to take shots at her, and we have people even that work in insurance here today. I'm not after insurance. I'm not after the lady. I'm after this simple illustration. If we're not careful, we think we've got more ability, and we start to utilize our own ability, not just physically, but even spiritually. And if we're not careful, it's liable to cost us more than we're willing to pay. Do you think that if it would have ran through her mind in the moment, she would not have stopped and thought, I probably don't need to throw a tree today? But she got caught up in the emotion of the moment. I want to tell everyone here in this room, under the sound of my voice, there is a subtle adversary in a very real world that wants us to try to operate in our own ability without counting the cost of what we might lose. Are you with me? We cannot afford to lose the blessings of God because we choose to do it in our own ability. It is the prophet Zechariah in the 4th chapter. There, the prophet Zechariah is dealing with the returning exile of the Jews. He is dealing with the return of God's people. And through this, there is a series of dreams that is to be interpreted. And here in this series of dreams, it is about the rebuilding, the reestablishing for the sake of God's people. And how many know that what the enemy tears down, God can and will reestablish? I want to tell someone here today, there's nothing the enemy can carry away from you that God cannot bring to completion the reestablishing and the rebuilding of that thing. And it is through this series of dreams that Zechariah is used by the Lord. And it is in chapter 4 when dealing with all the resources, and they are dealing with the stone, and they are dealing with the labor and the laborers, and they are looking and they are assessing and they are looking at all the provisions that they have. And it is bountiful and it is true in its blessings, but it's here where Zechariah is used in this prophecy. And he speaks these words that we needed to hear. They needed to hear in the building of the physical wall, and they needed to hear in the reestablishing of the people. But the Lord wants me to utilize in harmony. I have never and would have never planned on utilizing it in harmony with John chapter 4. But here in the reestablishing and the rebuilding of purpose for the people, it's then that Zechariah says, not by might and not by power, but by my spirit. At the end of the day, don't you think it was the stone that rebuilt this? And don't you think it was the wood that gave you this favor? And don't you think that just because some king gave you the nod, that it was that king that allowed this to happen? Because really, the only way this occurs is when my spirit intervenes and works against what history has tried to tear down and what the enemy has worked hard to destroy. I'm able to allow my spirit to reestablish what history has annihilated and what the enemy has destroyed. So it's not by might and it's not by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. And I've come with a very clear word to Calvary on this Sunday morning in March. It will not be by our might, and it will not be by our power, but if we can have a move of his spirit, then there is nothing that is impossible. It may be impossible with men, but what is impossible with men is possible with God. I'm preaching faith to somebody in the room here today. You don't have to worry about whether you're strong enough. He is strong enough. You don't have to worry about whether or not you're smart enough. He is smart enough. You don't have to worry about whether you've got the right name. He's got the name that's above every name. You don't have to worry about whether you can articulate the sentence properly. As long as you will yield your mouth to him. It is not by might. It is not by power. I thank God. And if you're one of those people in the room, you can bench press 300 pounds. I'm glad for you. But whether you can bench press 30 or 300, at the end of the day, the mountains we need to move right now. We cannot do it by our own ingenuity. We cannot do it by our own power or ability. We cannot do it by our own might. I'm going to preach it till I'm blue in the face if I have to. I can't earn enough money to do it. I can't live in a nice enough house to do it. It won't be by my might and it won't be by my power. But if we can get a move of his, if we can get a move of his spirit, I've got a question. Does anybody in the room still believe his spirit can do the work that nothing else can do? That his spirit can take care of the addiction that nothing else can take care of? His spirit can break the bondage of every... Come on, believer, on a Sunday morning. If you believe it, you don't even have to clap, but I would ask you to at least shout amen. You still believe it. I'm not asking you to testify to me. I'm asking you to testify against the mountains that are in this room. I'm asking you to testify in the face of hell that wants your family and the disparaging thoughts that want your mind. I'm not asking if there's a mountain. I'm just asking if there's anybody that believes it's not by my might and it's not by my power. But if we can have a move of His Spirit, we'll see the rebuilding and the establishing of what God wants. God always has, God does, and God always will have a purpose to fulfill. And we need His will, not our will. And a part of His will is played out in John chapter 4. And it is forever penned here. It is written, and it is... It is established for us to understand. When God manifests in the flesh, must needs go through Samaria. He's going to go and find Himself a seat on Jacob's well. I remind us here today that today's moments at the well are because somebody else dug a long time ago. And I don't ever want to take for granted that we get to walk into this church and sit down at this well and forget about the fact that people have dug this thing. They drove a shovel deep into the earth and they prayed this out and they interceded until something happened. And I don't ever want to discount what Brother Urson did or what Brother Larson did or what Pastor Mooney did or what Brother Pettigo did and what every other prayer warrior and saint of God and elder, what they did. I'm going to tell you, there were times where there were dry seasons and somebody pulled out a spiritual shovel and said, we got to dig until we hit water, because coming down the road there might be a day where the world is darker than it's ever been and there is a division and the Jews and Samaritans don't even want to talk to each other. He was dealing with racism in John chapter 4. He's dealing with racism that would reach far beyond Jews and Samaritans, but it would reach all the way into this day and age. And it'd be bigger than Caucasian and Asian and black and Hispanic. It'd be bigger than skin color and tone and his. I'm gonna preach it till the devil gets nervous. He's dealing with racism and prejudice at its very core. And he goes and he sits down at an old well. And he knows that a well can bring harmony. I'm telling you what this well can bring. It can bring the division to every prejudice. It can bring the breaking down of every ecumenical wall. It can bring down every social stratosphere. It can break down. Come on, Jesus, you know we don't mix. The devil is a liar and the father of every lie. I hope everybody online hears me. I hope everybody in the building hears me. We need every skin color. We need every ethnicity. We need every tribe. We need every tongue. We need every nation. Come on, we need everybody. Get to the well. Get to the well. Get to the well. Get to the well. And this don't have to move you. But if you don't agree with this, you're backslidden. If you don't agree with the fact that He came to seek and to save. The disciples were going to show up, and every one of them were wondering why He would even have a conversation. This is bigger than a bunch of us Jewish men getting together. Come on, this is greater than just some Hispanics getting together or some Indian getting together. This is bigger than just some Jamaicans or some black or African Americans or some Caucasians. This is, you go to your well and 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 you. No, 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 no. Just get to the well. And Jesus said, I'll break down. I don't care what the disciples say. I'm about to tell them I have meat to eat that you know not of. I have revival to give that your minds are not big enough to comprehend. Throw your hands towards heaven. I'm telling you, I feel a move. Come on, somebody pray against prejudice with me. Well, I wasn't raised that way. I wasn't born that way. You need to be born again. Need to be born again. How do I plan on going to heaven? How do I plan on going to heaven with people and doing eternity that I don't even want to do life with? Anybody feel what I feel? I feel some righteous indignation against the spirit of this age. There is a stirring of contradiction and contention in our world, and it's been aroused by political agendas. If there is one place that does not belong, it's at the well. It's at the well. It's at the well. It's at the well. And I'm telling you, I'm going to support any well that'll let people of every nationality come together and worship. I can't get past it. I can't get past it. It's where I'm at right now in the spirit. I curse every lying tongue. I curse every diminishing devil. I curse every antagonistic spirit. I pray against it in the name of the Lord. She's at the well. She's at the well because it was her answer. She's at the well because it was her provision. Yeah, but Pastor, she's got a riddled past. We've all got a riddled past. You might not be five husbands deep, but you got a... Come on, everybody in this room's got stuff. You got things you wish you hadn't said, things you wish you hadn't done. And the dangerous truth is Jesus could walk to the well of our reality to anybody in this room. And while nobody else talks about it, he sat down right next to you. Do you know what was in her heart? She's about to say it five verses deep. She's about to tell him, we know Messiah's coming. He's going to tell us all things. So he told her everything. What happens when the word begins to reveal what you've been doing and how you've been living and what you, because our Western way of thinking is when the word confronts, we get offended. But she already had it settled in her heart as a Samaritan, and she was already able to lean back on Jacob, and she was trusting for a Messiah. Can you imagine that? That a Samaritan woman, when the Jews and Samaritans had no dealings with each other, there was a Samaritan woman who had been married more times than she had fingers. Yes, I'm done. I'm just living with this. And yet she was looking. There's somebody coming. He will be the Christ. He will be the Savior. And when he comes, he's going to tell us all things. Be seated for a moment. I don't really want you to, but I need you to. He begins to dialogue with her, asking her for a drink. And what was her first statement, Brother Clark? Her first statement to him was, you don't have a bucket. Imagine telling the well that it doesn't have a bucket. Because the truth is, the one who gave water sat down on the thing that provided. She said, you don't have a bucket to draw with. And he said, if you knew who it was. This is why I said what I said in my opening remarks, if you knew what it was. That's why I don't want us to ever become guilty of being a church that acts like we can do service without knowing whose presence we're in. How would we act if we could visibly see the Christ walk in this place today? I promise you we would not carry about a... We would not carry on with our little procedure. We would not worry about how good our tie dimple looked. We wouldn't carry about where our shoes were from. We wouldn't. There's not a person in this room who would let your own personality get in the way if you could see him and know that it was him that walked in this. I don't care if you're not a runner, you'd run to him. I don't care if you're not a dancer, you'd do whatever it took. I don't care if you're the most casual, laid-back person in the room. If you saw Christ physically walk into this house, I gotta believe that every person under the sound of my voice would do whatever it took. But the problem is, she points out to us that you can be in his presence and not know he's... I can tell you that might happen before a move, But God forbid, Brother Campbell, that happened for us after. How is it possible that somewhere along the way, Jesus become my casual well partner? Boy, I'm in it. If you knew what I had, and here the story goes along, and he doesn't stop. He just keeps telling her everything. And when they get down to the end, we get down to those verses. The woman says, I know the Messiah is coming. And Jesus said, I that speak unto thee am he. I really felt impressed of the Lord to ask you in this room here today. I really felt like the Lord wanted me to ask you, as simple as it might sound. I really felt impressed. I stress this, to ask you from the Lord, do you still know that it's him? Do you still know that there's nobody like Jesus? Pastor, is that it? Do you still know he's the answer to your today and tomorrow? Do you still know that he's the answer to the diagnosis? Do you still know that he's the answer to? He said, "I that speak unto thee am he." The Messiah you've been waiting on is here. The Messiah you've heard prophesied about is here. The Christ you've heard is coming is current. I'm here. I that speak unto thee am he. I've got good news for you and bad news for your problems. He's here. I've got good news for you and bad news for hell. He's here. I've got good news for you and bad news to every lie of the enemy. He is at this well. Last week I received three different texts, not on different mornings, the same morning. Three different texts on the same morning. People randomly from different areas reaching out to me, telling me, got an incredible report about what God has done in spite of the cancer today. Cancer, I dare you to pull up a seat on the well next to him. That's aggressive speech. I'm going to talk aggressive for a minute. Sickness, I dare you to pull up a seat and you try to say that you are he when I know who he is. Say, did everybody get their healing? Not yet, but I got a glimpse. I was in devotion. I'm telling you, all within 30 minutes of each other, this text, then this text, then this text. I didn't text them first. I was just in devotion. This text. Cancer, I'd like to introduce you to Jesus. I want to remind somebody in this room today that if he can take away sin, he can take away sickness. If he can heal minds, he can heal bodies. He can heal your heart. He can heal your brain. He can heal your back. He can heal your... He said, I know what you've heard, and I know how you've been worshiping, but y'all don't even know what you're worshiping. I that speak unto thee am he. That's why it matters that we know who we worship when we worship in this church. I was preaching not long ago and started talking about the revelation of the oneness of God, and they chewed me up on the internet. Ready? Boy, I'm going to be too transparent, but... I was preaching about the oneness of God and the revelation of the oneness of God, and it made people online so mad. I got called every name. Now, don't go search for it. Saw some of you reach for your pocket. Call me every name. I do not apologize for knowing who he is. I am not apologetic that I recognize in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. I know who's on the well. And if you don't know who's on the well, you need to get a fresh revelation and a fresh appreciation for who is on the well. He's not just any man. He's not just any rabbi. He's not just any teacher. Come on, Samaritan woman. Come on, Indianapolis man. Come on, Greenwood one. Come on, saint of God. He's not just any old God. He's not just any old person. There is none like him. I that speak unto thee am he. That's what he told her. There's none like Jesus. I begin my close because the Bible says, and you can stand with me, it'll help me close this thing. You say, you hadn't preached very long. I didn't plan to. It's 10:31. I'm going to give us time to respond today. And upon this came his disciples, and they marveled that he talked with. You know, we're church folks. We don't talk to people. Woo. They didn't say anything, though. And while they were wondering why he was speaking to her, she was making the decision to leave everything she thought would bring her substance. Everything she thought would bring her sustenance. I don't care if you work 70 hours a week and make $1 million a year if you don't have Jesus. You can snort whatever you want to snort and drink whatever you want to drink and work wherever you want to work and drive whatever you want to. You can bring your bucket to the well every day and think that it's going to be your strength. To the young man in this room, that you do no fasting spiritually, but you do intermittent fasting for your... You think that if you pump enough iron, it's going to make you feel fulfilled. And I'm for bodily exercise, but at the end of the day, it profiteth little, especially... Man, what did she do? She said, I don't care what they say about me. I don't care what they think about me. The one I've been waiting for. The answer I've been waiting for. She hadn't found her joy in those husbands. To the person in the room under the sound of my voice that thinks if you get married, it'll bring you joy. You listen, I don't want to make a joke out of this. Because if God brings that spouse to you, he can fulfill you. But if you don't like yourself single, you won't like yourself in a relationship. Say, that's a pointed accusation. No, it's a word from heaven for somebody to tell somebody under the sound of you're carrying a bucket to the well every day and you're saying, Jesus, send me somebody. And he's saying, I that speak. To the person in this room, you're under the sound of my voice and you have set a financial plan and you know who you are and you think that if you hit this benchmark by the end of the year, that's when you'll be happy. You got a 5-year plan, but you... What are you reaching for, Pastor? I'm reaching for souls. I'm reaching for people in this room that think you're going to find happiness in that bucket. Think you're going to find happiness in your ability to walk to the well in the heat of the day when you're there by yourself at noon and no other people are there, but you're going to get down in that water and you're going to find a way. I'm just going to get enough. I'm not going to get enough joy to last, but I'm going to get enough water to make it to tomorrow. And some of you are taking enough sleeping pills. You can't rest anymore because the enemy took your rest. So you go to the bucket and pop a pill. You're dealing with sensitive stuff, Pastor. Yeah, but I'm telling you, the one who can carry that pain away. Study the narrative. She's there at that time on purpose because she didn't have a good image with people. But when Jesus affects her life, she runs into the city. You forget what's classified me as who I am and what I am. She left her water pot and she ran into the city. You gotta come meet this man. I found the Christ. He's told me everything I did. Imagine that was her testimony. Come and meet a man. He told me all the stuff that I did. And some of those guys had to be thinking, we know. If he looked to the intricate places of your heart and you allowed him to dive into the recesses of your mind, could he reveal the parts about you that are making you cling to your own ability to sustain? And would anybody besides me in the room today just want to say, I want to leave my water pot. It's not by my might. It's not by my power. I'm not saying you don't have to work hard. You do. I'm not saying you don't have to battle. You do. But I'm telling you this. You don't have to do it alone. I want you to lift your hands all over this room, and I want us to begin to pray.